Today on Real Radio.
Which of these three, Jesus asked the man, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the man said, this is every scholar you read, they laugh at this, verse 37. And the man said, he who showed mercy on him. You want to know why he answered that way? Because a Jew would not say Samaritan.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. We've all heard and most likely said the phrase, Good Samaritan. Well, that's because it is derived from one of the most well-known of all of our Lord's recorded parables. In Luke chapter 10, we learn of the parable of the Good Samaritan. It seems Jesus was being challenged in a battle of wits, so to speak, when someone asked, Ah, but who is my neighbor? Well, of course, our Lord answered with the parable that we're looking into. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with the parable of the Good Samaritan.
A Jew following the Messiah, we would say today, is a completed Jew, a fulfilled Jew. And by the way, the day is coming. I want to make this loud and clear. The day is coming, the Bible says, when God will save Israel. The Jews will come back to faith in God. It's going to be awesome. What does that mean? It means they're going to follow Messiah. They are going to be Messiah followers. If we're Christians, Christ is Greek for Messiah, they're going to be Messiahians. Second point tonight is this. Mark this down if you would. Verses 30 to 32. The parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us the heart of God in me, the heart of God in us. What do we mean by that? Now this illustration of Jesus is incredibly fearless. Watch what happens from here on out. I'm talking about you and I as the believer, the heart of God in us. Verse 30, we learn this. He's concerned about suffering. When I talk about the heart of God in us, are you and I concerned about the suffering? We are commanded to. Concerns the heart of God. Watch this. Jesus says in verse 30, answers and said to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem. You always go down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's about a 3,700-foot drop and a short distance, by the way. 3,700 feet drop from Mount Scopus down to Jericho, the city, and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Watch this. Know what is not said here. This is interesting. It says here, it's a certain man. Watch everybody. What color is this man? We don't know. Is he black? Is he white? We don't know. Is he from Europe? Is he from Africa? We don't know. Is he rich? We don't know. What do we know about this guy? He's on a journey. He's on the road of blood. That's what it's called. You know the road from Jericho, from Jerusalem to Jericho used to be called the road of blood. I've actually been on the road. Now you can't go on it. You can go on it by foot. I've been on it. Some of you were with us when we took a bus on there. And some people had like major stress episodes because the wheels were hanging over the cliff. It's amazing. And shortly after that, they barred it from tourists taking a bus on there. So we were like one of the last groups to ever get a chance to do that. It was amazing. And it's scary and steep. And it was known as the road of blood, not because you crashed your bus in those days. It's because the switchbacks, you would go like this in some areas and there would be thieves hiding around the corner and they'd kill you. They'd rob you blind. It was notorious. And they left him for half dead. But who is this guy? We don't know. Here's the beautiful part. We don't know. We're not supposed to know. Isn't that neat? You're the heart of God in this? Black, white, doesn't matter. Rich, poor, doesn't matter. Jesus paints the scene in the midst of the questioner's mind. This thing's planted, this picture. Regardless of the situation or the circumstance, we're supposed to be concerned about suffering. By the way, can I just insert this? It might upset some of you here that's not a Christian. That's okay. Go research this and see if it's true. Historically, presently, and I think it's okay to say in the future tense, Christians have responded to catastrophe and calamity in a generous way for the suffering like no other people group in the history of mankind. Do you know why? Because we follow our Savior. With all that's going on in the world, why don't you see nations with different worldviews responding like this Judeo-Christian nation's foundation has taught us to respond? Why is it that when something happens, you see Israel, Europe, and the United States, or say United States, North America, predominantly U.S. and Canada, respond to a global issue? Why? Do you think it has nothing to do with politics? It's a worldview. When the Middle East has a catastrophe, don't you think all the $1 trillion of oil money would come from those nations to help their own brothers? Guess what? It doesn't. You ever think about that? Don't believe what I'm telling you. Go look and see. It's very interesting. Where does that come from? Because our Savior cares and is concerned about suffering. Hospitals around the world operate and do and care and love for the suffering. An overwhelming amount of them do it under the cross of Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? You become like the doctrine you believe in. That's a very powerful truth. The second thing in verse 31 is the heart of God. If he dwells in me, he is serious about justice. Jesus says in verse 31, now by chance, a certain priest came down. Now this is key. You may not think this is a big deal. I think this is a big deal. Does it say the certain priest went up the road or down the road? It says down the road. You know why it says down the road? He's coming from Jerusalem to Jericho. Many of the priests lived in Jericho. They would go for a 2-week ministry stint at the temple. The priest, in a moment you're going to read about the Levite, they're going down back home. What does that mean? Where did they come from, people? Jerusalem, but where were they working? At the temple. They just left the worship of God. They just left church, as it were. They're going home. And it's downhill. They've done their time. You see? Did they leave God at the temple when they left? Interesting, huh? Think of it. But God's concerned about justice. He's serious about it. And Jesus says there's a certain priest who came down the road, and when he watched this, he passed by on the other side. He saw the man wounded, bleeding, and half dead. By the way, the word half dead means unconscious. It's like, you know, mostly dead, half dead. The word means he's unconscious. The priest, after doing his God work, his God duty, sees this guy in great peril and passes on the other side of the road. Why? Well, look, he's a priest. If he goes over there, if the guy's dead, watch, according to the law, if the guy's dead, he can't come within, 4 cubits? So like, 6-7 feet of a dead body. He's got to go have, be purified. He's got to change his clothes. He's got to go back to the temple, make a sacrifice. Oh man, watch this. You ever feel like that in life? I mean, we laugh, but come on. You know this happens to us when we see something we should get involved in, and we conveniently, it's funny, it doesn't matter if people are with us or not, we'll conveniently look the other way. We deceive ourselves. You know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me like that. We have all done this. It's like you're going down the street here, and you see a car with a Christian sticker on the window, and they have a flat tire, and there's a mom out there trying to change the tire with 7 kids hanging around her, and you go, oh, what a nice sunset over there. You rat. What are we doing? We're being exactly like this priest. Oh, man, I mean, I'm late to In and Out. Lord, bring someone by to help her with her flat tire. Don't even pray that prayer. Back up. He's serious about justice. And Jesus gets the attention of everyone. He says, a certain priest. Huh? What'd he say? A priest? Pass by on the other side. This is a very key thing. The priest, we know the heart of God, you and I do. God's not concerned about the law. He's concerned about people. Remember what Jesus said? Don't think for a moment the man was created for the law. The law was created for man. What's more important to God, the law or human life? Human life. Look at verse 32. God's intolerant. I love it. He's intolerant about hypocrisy. Makes him sick. Verse 32, likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and he looked and he passed by on the other side. Now watch this. Watch, the priest goes like this. Hey, that looks like a body up there. Oh gosh. And he goes around, the Levite almost gets involved. It's like people that are almost a Christian. I've been going to church here for years. Yeah, but do you know Jesus? Well, I've told you, I've been coming here for years. But are you going to heaven? Well, I'm going to tell God how I came here for years. That's not the answer. Can you imagine? Hi, God. You know, I put up with that guy for years down there. The Levite goes like this. Whoa. This guy has really gotten the snot beat out of him. Poor, unfortunate soul. He is really in trouble. Whoa. Whoa. Almost cared. Got close. My thought is this. Can you imagine the guy laying there and half his teeth are missing? The guy's eyeballs hanging out. He's almost dead. And he looks up and imagine what's in his mind. Now, this is not in the Bible. I'm making this part up right now. Imagine, though, he sees the priest walk by and he's thinking, oh. And then he hears footsteps again. And a Levite. And he must think, oh, thank you, God. I'm rescued. And with the one eye there, you know, he looks at the Levite's face and feet at the same time. And hope walks away. And hope, oh, and he leaves. Well, you know, I was intending to do something about that. Same thing with us. I was intending to, you know, I was going to do something about that. Why don't you just not talk about it, please? Well, I was going to say something. Really? Do you think anybody believes you when you say that? Why don't you, come on, let's go say something. And then something, then it's remedied and you go, I was just fixing to do something about that. Everybody knows you weren't. Well, you know, God hates hypocrisy. He just hates it. You know, the symbols of the Screen Actors Guild, you know what it is? Hypocrite. What's the hypocrite? The one mask that has a smiley face, like the Joker, that face, and the other face is sad. It's called the hypocrite. God hates that. Third and final thing, we'll end with this. Verse 33 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan, we learn the love of God through me. The world is going to learn about the love of God through you and I. Did you know that? You guys know this. The love of God through you and I means this, that we care for the things of God. The things that God cares for, we're supposed to care for. Jesus blows the whole thing up in amazing ways with verse 33. It's shocking. If you're Jewish tonight, you're like going, oh my goodness, he didn't. Are you kidding me? Jesus said that? No way. Yep. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, you don't talk about Samaritans to Jews. They can't stand each other. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. The word means stood in the same place as the wounded man. We can say that he put his shoes on, so to speak. You know the thing about don't criticize somebody unless you walk in their own shoes? This guy comes right up. Cast caution to the wind. Oh my goodness, this guy's hurt. The Samaritan goes right there. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. The word compassion, circle the word. The word in Greek means bowels were moved. Bowels. His torso, his midsection was so grieved over that man's condition that it made him sick. It made him sick. That's what the word means. The man became sick to his stomach. You say, what's the big deal about the Samaritan thing? It's a big deal. The Samaritans were half-breeds. In the days of Israel's rebellion and the kingdoms were divided, the Assyrian Empire came. You can read this in your Old Testament, and captured the Jews and led them into captivity. And some of the Jews were sold by the Assyrians to the Babylonian kingdom. They were put in exile there in Babylon. You know, you've heard of the Babylonian captivity? And then after God had drawn them or brought them out of Babylon, they came back. But some of the Jews now had married Assyrian husbands or wives and produced children that were half-breeds. Samaritans were known as half-breeds. They were half Hebrew and half Gentile. They were despised by the Orthodox Jews. It's an amazing situation because in Samaria, when Nehemiah came to rebuild the street and the walls to get the temple going again, remember they came to Nehemiah and they said, this is awesome, we want to join with you. And they said, no, you can't. You're not pure. You're not all Hebrew. And they were so upset, they were so grieved. And there was the temple in Jerusalem. And do you remember, listen, I'm now fast forwarding centuries. Fast forward, do you remember when Jesus came in John's gospel? Jesus came to Jacob's well to get a drink of water, and the disciples went into a town to get some food, and a woman was there at the well. Do you remember what her ethnic background was? She was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, can you give me some water? And she goes, how is it that you, a Jew, speaks to me, a Samaritan? You have no dealings with us. Remember that? They had their own temple in Samaria. Did you know that? They weren't allowed to come into Jerusalem, so they built their own temple. They had their own worship system. You can take an archaeological trip and visit the old foundations of their ancient temple today. They were despised. Well, see, what is Jesus doing here? I mean, you know the book, like, you know, How to Influence People and Win Them as Friends or whatever the name of that book is? Didn't Jesus read this? I mean, this is going to put gasoline on the fire here. It's very interesting, isn't it? What's he saying? He's saying, you need to care for the things that God cares for and don't get bound up in religion. They want to talk about where to worship and we're this group and you're that group. We don't associate with each other. Does that happen today? We're Baptist. We're Lutheran. We're Methodist. We can't talk to you guys. Is Jesus Lord? Yes. Did he die on the cross for our sins? Yeah. Did he rise again from the dead? Yes. Is he the one true God? And say, yes. Virgin born? Yes. Coming again? Yes. Are you with me? Do you hear that? Yes. We start parsing things out. Well, you know what? This guy, this and that. Is it a hill to die on? Were you blessed by John Lennox last Sunday? Yes. Well, what if he would have said, I can't go there. I mean, I'm a PhD many times over. I got to speak to only PhDs. What if he would have done that? Could he? He could have, but he didn't. I think that's kind of cool. What if Jesus would have said, I'm not going down there. Those people are mean to each other. He didn't. We need to care about the things that God cares about. The next, look, verses 34 to 35, and I'll hurry up. We need to care for the things of man. So he went to him, that is the Samaritan, and bandaged up this guy's wounds, so he touches him. The priest and the Levite would never touch. Pour oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn, that's probably in Jericho, by the way, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he, that is the Samaritan, departed, he took 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. And that is an awesome thing to realize. That is so like Jesus. This is the standard of God dwelling in a person's heart, proper doctrine, living it out. Now, look, I hope I made it clear at the beginning. We should all take care of each other regardless of what people believe and their lifestyle, whatever. If someone's hurt and you bless, you take care of them. Period. I'm not compromising doctrine here. What I'm saying is, remember, good works are awesome, but they don't save you. But those of us who are saved should have good works. Amen. Why? Because that's exactly what our God has shown us to do. You may do amazing good works, but you're going to be in heaven because of the blood of Jesus. Okay? Care for the things of all. So which of these three, Jesus asked the man, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the man said, this is kind of, every scholar you read, they laugh at this, verse 37. And he, the man said, he who showed mercy on him. You want to know why he answered that way? Because a Jew would not say Samaritan. They were so hated. Who did the right thing? That guy. And Jesus said, go do likewise. The word means go be like him. Whoa! Steam coming out of the ears. Have you noticed when God speaks to you sometimes, it gets steam going out of your ears? What? And then you calm down and God's always right. Church, this is good stuff for our hearts. We have a lot of opportunities. We have the needs within our own body to reach. We have needs in the community. You ever look through the newspaper and you see people that have suffered an accident or injury? That's an opportunity. Maybe you can call the city or the newspaper to find out, where do they live? Or is there a drop-off point where we can help? What about the homeless in LA? You say, well, you know, there's people called to that. That's a problem. We're called to that. To care for things of all, it's critical.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called The Parable of the Good Samaritan. The Parable of the Good Samaritan is part of Pastor Jack's series of lessons called The Parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because it is Wednesday, we often like to remind you here on Real Radio to join us for Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs live on his channel at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. That's every Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. Just go to hischannel.com, hischannel.com, super easy after that. Just a couple of points and clicks, and you'll be joining us for Pastor Jack's Wednesday night study. It's a great study every week. Again, that's live at 7:30 West Coast time on his channel, hischannel.com. We hope you'll join us. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.